Spotlight.
Story Spotlight.
Story Spotlight.
Spotlight
go,
of story.
Go, Stevie.
Go, Stevie. Oh. I know that there's a few of them. Uh-oh.
What the hell?
Unfortunately, Chrome has stopped.
What?
Hold on.
Chrome died?
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up Mythic Spoiler.
There we go. Just pull up one of them and see what it says on the bottom
okay.
Right left.
I'm pretty sure it's Story Spotlight.
Right there.
You know we're recording, don't you?
That's a good one.
They're looking. They're finding it. Story
Spotlight.
I was right. See, I told you guys.
You're right. Okay.
Yeah.
The funny thing is we went through the pre-release.
Yeah.
I brought my cards home. Mm-hmm. He had done it the midnight release, and we were just kind of looking at cards, and I go... And he looked at it and goes, what the hell is that in the bottom?
Yeah, I was just looking at, like, the artist stuff.
Well, that video that you guys were listening to earlier has been on the internet for, like, 2 weeks now.
Oh, we didn't, I didn't even know. We had no, like, are we recording right now?
Yeah, we're recording. It's like, yeah. Hey, Colorado everybody. Magic Player Podcast.
Yep.
Ding, ding, ding.
So we were sitting here looking at cards.
Come on.
And at the bottom, I look and I'm like, what's Story Spotlight mean? And it's like numbered. What the hell is this? And then we started looking and, oh, there's five cards. And so Greg pulled up a video and we watched that today of, I guess, the story arc within these five cards that they've kind of
put into the cards. Well, I think it's his interpretation of it.
Yeah.
It could
be,
yeah.
Well, no, because he was, I think he has an idea of what's going on because there's been like two or three... It's caught up halfway through that, so he knows what he's talking about with the like at least the first two.
Right, because he said the story's at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So almost, yeah, some speculation, but
it's kind of cool though that they put the lore of the whole in. You know, I don't think they've ever done that before. Where they,
no.
I mean, the lore is usually within the cards themselves, whether it's the art or the flavor text or what the card does. But I think that it's kind of cool. That in Kaladesh they kind of did this special five card set that tells you, you know, guides you through this Kaladesh arc.
I think this will be from now on too.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a cool idea.
The research and development seems like they're not stupid, obviously, and they just keep kind of they have bad sets, but Kaladesh I think is one of the best sets.
Yeah,
and really enjoyed it. I mean, I was playing against a friend of mine for second place at the pre-release. God, who the hell was that?
Did you go to... You went to...
Steve! It was Steve!
Oh, you face!
Yeah, that guy.
On your face! Supposedly, he, like, let you have it, too. On your face!
Well, yeah.
Splat!
He saw the writing on the wall.
Yep. After, well, game one wasn't too crazy, but game two, I was just like, okay, let's go. Okay, I'm gonna die here.
I kept drawing that damn flyer.
Yeah, that stupid thing. Do you know how many times I had to try and kill that thing the entire pre-release?
The White Nighthawk?
Yeah, 2-3. Yeah. Is it 2-3 Vigilance Lifelink? Whatnot?
And flying, it counters
flying Vigilance Lifelink for 3 for 2-3.
So you block and you attack and you block and you attack and you win.
It's just so beast. That card is really, really good.
Yeah.
So, you went to Collector Mania?
Yes,
and you went to Collector Mania?
I did.
When did you go Saturday?
Sunday.
You went Sunday? When did you go? You went Saturday, though.
No, I went there to buy cards. I wanted to buy the Chandra Nessa, the pre-made.
Those sold out in like 2 seconds.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because I went on Saturday after work, which was about 3:30, and they were already gone.
Wow.
Yeah, so. I went in there early, and they says, we can't sell them until the pre-release starts. I went, okay. So I hung out there, and Bobby saved me the Chandra one. It's not the real Chandra. It's just
it's a different one. Yeah,
yeah, it's a different one.
They're Planeswalker beginner Planeswalker.
And then my boss showed up down there. He wanted to sell some cards, but it was really really crowded.
Yeah, I bet you
they had 40 at least 40 people there on Saturday. And then so Steven wanted to play Sunday, and I'm glad we did because my boss and his son first time they ever played any kind of tournament.
Oh, awesome.
Got their DCI cards and all that stuff.
Cool.
And there was only like 14 people, so it was nice.
Light.
Yeah.
That
and his son's kind of nervous around a lot of people, you know, so he had a great
time. He'll acclimate to it.
Yeah, he ended up winning. He won a game. I'm helping him build their decks. So we open our packs, and I got mine done kind of pretty quickly, and I was pretty happy with it. He opens up a Nissa. I went, well, good for you.
Wow.
Then he opens up the big ship. the
Sky Shroud or whatever.
The guy, the sky, whatever, that fortress thing. That he,
6-5.
Yeah. He opens that up, and he opened four white removal stuff. Wow. Plus, so he went white green. It was obvious what he had. And he also had the guy, the card that puts a 1-1 counter and makes it fight something. So he had like five ways to remove or just destroy stuff. You know? And the skyship thing comes in and does 3 damage. Plus, I think whenever it attacks, it does
3 damage. No, it's only when it attacks. It does 3 damage to a creature or 3 damage to a planeswalker.
I believe it does 3 damage when it comes into play.
Uh-uh.
I read it and it said that. So.
No, I'm not. That's right. I'm pretty sure it doesn't do that.
But anyhow, he was a little nervous playing his first game, and the guy kind of took advantage of him. And I think he missed some triggers and stuff, and the guy didn't help him.
Oh, you're right. When it enters the battlefield or attacks.
Say that again. I'm what?
You're wrong.
That's that. Well, I heard him. He called it an enchantment, not an artifact. Jeez,
yeah.
Greg, come on.
Yeah, I know.
We're not on Theros anymore.
Yeah.
So anyway, he ended up winning a match, and he was like just
stoked.
Oh, stoked. Well, his dad in the third round got a bye, and he's over there sitting by himself, you know. And I walked over and said, "Did you get a bye?" He goes, "Yeah." I shook his hand. Thank you. Well, you know, congratulations on your first tournament win ever.
Yeah,
that's true. He just went, oh, geez.
That is a win, though.
Then he had to play his son in the last round.
Yeah.
And his son kicked his ass. His son kept saying, "Dad, don't friggin' be easy on me. You know, I want to play up straight up." And
exactly.
The dad says, "I'm trying, dude."
Yeah.
Don't be easy on me.
If I could have played that kid's deck, I think I would just went undefeated. It was
really good.
Good cards. Good stuff. I ended up
Xander got good stuff in his too. I got pooped.
Yeah, I got pooped too, but I somehow made it kind of work.
I
almost went 3-1 with it. Yeah. I lost due to play mistakes because it was like freaking 5 in the morning.
Oh, I had some good vehicles. I had 2 of the cards that when they tap, you deal 1 damage to an opponent, so you use them to crew.
Sure.
Every time. So that was working
crew, well. Swing.
Then, of course, the flyers with the Vigilance Lifelink, you put counters on it. You fabricate and put counters on it, you know. It was really good.
I had 2 of those Scrap Heap Scourgers, or Scroungers, not Scourgers. And that card is insane. I'm really interested to see that in Standard with the whole Relentless Dead thing and the
Haunting
Eldrazi guy, whatever his name is. The one that you can bring back from exile.
Scourge, Eternal Scourge, or whatever.
Like, that's really interesting.
I also had the guy, the 2/4 red guy, that every time an artifact comes into play, he gets +2 and trample. That was kicking butt.
Yeah.
You know, they try to throw something small in front of it, so it's got trample.
Yeah.
Like, what? You know,
honestly, well, yeah. Yeah, that card, oh, man.
So you guys
you drop 2 friggin' artifacts, if you fabricate and make one of the guys and an artifact... He gets 4.
Well, and then speaking of, like, you know, artifacts, those crazy vehicles, like the 6/1 haste trample guy.
Oh, yeah.
That thing's stupid. I don't know how many games I won with that card and how many times that card beat me. I have no idea. They were everywhere.
Well, I beat Eric with the big 10/7 guy that can't be blocked by creatures with power 2 or less.
Yeah.
And he looked down and that's all he had and went, yeah, I kill you.
So you guys at Collector Mania, you went on Friday and it was slammed?
No, I went Saturday.
I did hear that Friday and Saturday were crazy, though. Like, Friday midnight release was just packed. Like,
it
they
was packed.
Yeah, they were turning people away, unfortunately.
Some people were upset because they also get a big crowd of the guys that play LOL and stuff, and they bring their laptops down and play, and then there's a couple of
what the heck is LOL? I don't remember.
League of Legends.
Yeah, but they got the people playing some of the D&D stuff. And
there's no room for them. They did not come on release days.
Yeah, and I guess Bobby kind of got chewed out. Says, you know, don't tell people there might be room. Just tell them pre-release is going on. It's priority. If you come down, you're coming down at your own risk.
Yeah.
But I guess they come down and bitched. I was like,
yeah.
Well, the computer guys did?
I think that was either Pathfinder or something.
Yeah, somebody like that. Pathfinder, Warhammer, or something.
But,
like that.
I mean, really, like, what do you expect? It's a huge set that's getting released. The store is going to be packed with people playing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they're there for. And unfortunately,
they get run out.
Yeah, that's not the scheduled night for that.
Is, some of those guys, it happens in every shop. You get these guys who want to play Pathfinder, and they come in, they sit down, they bring their own food, they bring their own drinks, and never buy a friggin' thing at the shop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Eric is cool about it, but it kind of wears on you a little bit sometimes.
Well, I mean, you should try and support where you play.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
So you guys were, so Collector Mania was slammed Friday and Saturday. Yeah. It was just slammed.
It was slammed.
So we went, me and Xander went Friday to F&M, played Standard at DCG, and I got prize. So I used the prize to help me get into the pre-release. They had 34 for Standard. Mm-hmm. And then, so DCG has like a, they do something kind of crazy. Whenever there's a pre-release or a release, no, it's pre-release. Whenever it's just a pre-release, it turns into like a tailgate party out in the parking lot. Like, it gets pretty wild. So across the street is like this hookah bar. And then across the street from that is a strip club. And then DCG's right there.
That's Centerfolds.
Yeah. That's the name.
I think we've come talked. Support the women.
There you go. We actually had three of them walk in. Go, what's going on in here? It was pretty funny.
Can we dance?
Sure. take that table. just move the cards.
Don't get that on my plane.
But they have
oh, your pasty fell off.
They had food truck come, so they had an actual food truck out front. They were serving burgers and fries and all fresh stuff. Like, the guy actually took the onion ring and was coring it out and did the whole thing. And then they're drinking out there. They're all smoking and everything. And Ben has his tailgate open. He's playing music. He's got like this, I don't know, this big speaker that he's playing through his iPod or whatever, and they're all just hanging out. We're all just...
You guys all broke into a square dance.
No, it's just everybody's out there drinking. They bring liquor, and they're drinking literally out front of the store.
Wow.
And they're smoking weed and smoking cigarettes.
What, it's Colorado, folks.
Yeah. And so they're out front smoking weed, smoking cigarettes, vaping, and drinking, and... So we're out there, and we're just kind of hanging out, and Xander and me off to the side where none of this stuff's kind of hitting us. But it was just, it really is like a party kind of atmosphere, and I had a blast. Like, I was really tired by the end of Friday night. I was really worn down, because I'd been up since 5 that morning, because I had to go to the gym at lunch, and then go pick up Xander, and then go to do pre-release. And, man, I was busted. I was so tired. I was just like, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this. Andrew's like, well, you know, I think you should, because you get a, you know, if you get a box too, then we'll have a chance to get Chandra. We'll have two chances to get Chandra instead of just one. Because I was going to let him play, and I was going to go sit in the corner and sleep. Well, like...
With the strippers. Oh,
okay. Well, by the time 11:15 starts rolling around, 11:30... people are just mobbing the place. Yeah. They must have had 76, 78 players or something. I don't know. It was over 70, I think. They had a ton of players there. And I was just like, oh my God. The line literally went all the way to the door, and it wrapped around inside. So, yeah, there was a lot of people there. It was a really party kind of atmosphere. There were some people that just got their stuff and left. There was a few people that got their stuff, and as soon as they lost, like, the first round, they kind of scooted out. Second round, scooted out. Third round, scooted out. So by the end of the night, I was there for 4 rounds because I was trying to go 3-1. Xander went 3-1, and he had a really good deck. I missed it by making a play. Actually, I made, like, 2 play mistakes in a row. On the last round, and it kind of cost me the round, and it's because I was just so tired, I didn't know what was going on. Kind of like, you get to that point where you just hit that wall where you're just like, just playing cards and swing, and then you're like, oh, damn it, that does that. Oh, I could have played this and done this, and then I could have won. I was like, oh,
it's really a tragedy. Like, every time I do one of those midnight releases is when I get my best pulls. Like, I don't understand. Every time, wow. It never fails. And I'm just like, I am not going to be awake at 4 o'clock in the morning to play this the way it should be played.
Yeah, and it's
just... And then you go, like, on Saturday when you're totally awake, and it's just like, well, I got garbage, so let's see how this goes.
Yeah. Yeah, and so Xander really wanted to do the midnight pre-release and kind of be there with everybody and do it, so I was like, fine, I'll suck it up. Mm-hmm. So I ended up sucking up, but man, by the time we left, I had to drop him off there at his place and then come back out here, and it was like... Jeez, it was like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was so tired. I didn't wake up till 2:30 the next day. And I told Xander, I'm like,
yeah, I went man, in your room to get my sleeves, and you were just zonked out, man.
Yeah, I was out like a light. And it was, and I told Xander, I said, if we do this midnight pre-release, like, it screws up my weekend.
Yeah.
Like, Saturday, I end up sleeping until like 2 something, and then I don't go to bed till late, and then Sunday... I end up like using Sunday as an adjust day, and then my weekend's gone. Like, before I know it, like, I haven't had any, like, you know, break time because I've been adjusting and, like, sleeping all these weird hours. Oh, you'll be fine. So I woke up at 2:30 and then went over and got the kids. I got Ivy and Xander. And then we went around. We went and saw Magnificent Seven and stuff and went and took Ivy to the store and stuff. So
Saturday we went in there and it was packing. It was filling up fast. It was packed. I bought the Chandra intro deck, and my boss bought another Chandra and an Anissa.
Mm-hmm.
And we went over to the little tap house and had a, you know, steak quesadilla and drank some cider and beer. And we opened up our packs, and I didn't get shit. He opens up his first pack and gets a friggin' foil or the new... Feast and Famine sword.
Oh, the masterpiece?
Yeah. And I was like, are you friggin' serious? He just smiled. What is this? I go, yeah, it's like $160 card.
What is this?
Good for you, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, it's, he opens like, two packs, and in one pack he gets, you know,
that masterpiece.
It's a new player thing, man.
It is. Yep. It's new playeritis.
Yeah, yeah. And the Chandra deck just kicks the shit out of the Nissa deck.
Well, I know at DCG, that when they opened up those things and were selling them, they didn't sell out, actually. Like, a lot of people, the only one that sold out was the Nissa one.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted the Nissa one. They didn't buy the Chandra. So there was, like, a bunch of the Chandra's ones sitting there. And I looked at them. I said, oh, those like, Planeswalker Light precons or whatever? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, where's all the Nissas? They're already all gone. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so a 6-drop Nissa, and I think it's a 6-drop Chandra, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, these things are, like, hot. I was like, the abilities on them aren't very good.
There's,
like,
there's actual cards that go fishing for them.
Right.
Yeah, and those are kind
of
cool.
You buy 4 of them, you can get a place that play it in standard and actually play with that.
Because it doesn't care if the Chandra is in your library or graveyard. You get it, put it in your hand.
Right.
And that's not too bad.
They're still pretty bad, though.
I mean, but still.
It would be good if the Planeswalkers actually did cool stuff. Like, the Planeswalkers...
Like, they don't really do it. It's bad when you look at it for EDH and you're just like,
No, it's not EDH.
Well, no, it's not EDH. It's
well, that's what I mean. That's how I like
rate it. It does kill the small stuff, and it does hit, you know, and I ultimate one. I opened Chandra, ultimate it, and it seemed like it was pretty good. It does 6 damage to all your creatures and players or something. Yeah.
For like a bajillion turns of activating?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not very
good.
Yeah, I forget what
the... Well, so pre-releases went good though. You went 3-1, then.
Yeah, I went 3-1. I only Steve, lost to the guy do? That went undefeated.
2-2.
2-2. I went 2-2, and Xander went 3-1. And so, all in all, it was pretty successful.
The DCG vehicle was awesome. The vehicle aspect was a lot of fun, and I misread. I thought if it said crew 3, you tap 3 of your creatures, but no, you tap whatever. You
3 know. Power.
Yeah, 3 power, and. You know, I had that 10-7. I think it's got crew 5 or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like you play, you know, you play that one flyer that's 3 and then something else, and bam.
Well, and another really cool thing was the energy. I really liked that, too.
Oh, you were doing big time.
That was that
Did
was
you notice, like, if because I built a Bant energy deck for mine,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed that I actually had more energy than I really could use.
Well, there were times when I ran into that, but not all the time. Because I got that... I mean, I had a whole bunch of them. Like, I had the turtle.
I had that.
That's the 1-drop. And then I had 2 of the 3-drops, the tappers. which are amazing. They
the blue ones.
They won me several games just because blocking didn't stuff get down.
You tapped my flyer went three times.
I got the eagle.
Well, I had to survive.
I got the eagle that gives you two. I got the turtle that gives you two, and I got the cub. When it comes into play, you can pay two to put a +1/+1 on it, the green one. So I literally didn't play with any of my rares in my deck.
Well, I
couldn't because they were all like either lands.
I also got the enchantment that whenever an artifact comes in, you can pay one and get two energy as well. Mm-hmm. Then can pay six energy and sacrifice and draw three cards. That was great as well.
I got the artifact that lets you, pay one when you put a counter on it, put another counter on it. And then I had that Panacronian, whatever it is. So.
Trigger
effect when a creature comes in, it triggers a creature already in. You can double the triggers and stuff.
Yeah,
it was pretty fun. Yeah. I got the land that comes out and puts the energy out, and then you can use an energy to make any color.
Ether Hub.
Yeah, Ether Hub. That helped me a couple times. It got me the energy.
I think Ether Hub will be a really cool card in Standard because it'll help enable the Eldrazi decks because it gives you that generic or it gives you a color. And some of the Eldrazi's like Displacer and Vile Aggregate and some of the blue ones like the Sky Spawner, you just need one color. Mm-hmm. All the other Eldrazi like Smasher and Botnot are all going to be generic, but I think Aether Hub will be really cool in those decks.
You bring the attention, I mean, I'm new about it because I saw you playing it, is the Eldrazi Displacer. I think
that
Eldrazi Displacer is stupid good with Kaladesh. There are so many cards coming into play. Fabricate. Holy cow.
It's stupid good with Thought Knot. Yeah, think of that. You go you could actually curve out and go third turn, Displacer, fourth turn, Thought Knot, get a card, fifth turn, swing for four, blink Thought Knot, and then control their draws for the rest of the game until you kill them. So Displacer with Thought Knot is a very super like powerful combo. And I think if you combine that combo with, you know, if you're able to combine that with some other creatures that have cool 187 effects like Thought Knot Seer or things when they leave the battlefield, they trigger something or they enter the battlefield.
One it does. I think a white one, if it leaves play, something triggers. But all the Fabricate cards, you know, there's so many cards that said it come into play, this happens.
Yep.
That green guy that comes in and does support four or something like that. Puts four counters on something.
The Gear Hulk.
Yeah, holy cow.
The green one, Green Hulk.
Can you imagine that, putting it on that white flyer? Holy cow.
Well, if you just displace him and then just put counters on everything, then you still got Avacyn to deal with. And look, we're still skimming over, like, with Kaladesh, it's very exciting and cool and everything, but if you look at its application into Standard, we still have the Eldrazi to think about, you know, and a lot of people kind of brushed over those because you still had dragons and cons and you had Bant Coco kind of ruling. But now that Collected Company's gone,
this Friday,
you're gonna see a lot more Eldrazi decks. I think they really are that powerful, and those like Thought Knot Seer and Reality Smasher and Reality Shaper, those cards are for real. Like they didn't just play those in Modern for funsies.
So that weird sorcery that you and I talked about last night, where you look at the top 10 and you exile two creatures and your opponent gets to pick one of the creatures.
And then you get one.
And then, but you had to read it out right, because what you do is those other eight cards get shuffled
back
library.
In.
You don't
it's
get
not a
those
giant
cards.
Company.
It looks like you can play all those eight cards, but you can't. Mm-mm. You just get to get that exile creature.
See, that just sounds terrible.
It's
a sorcery, dirty. So it's.
Well, even as a, like an instant, I wouldn't like.
If you're playing Homeward Pass somehow, I mean, it might have a like in EDH maybe.
Well, like
because
if Zedru somehow had
cards,
green,
get a you know. Well, of course, if I did it, I'd put like an elf and you know who knows Blightsteel Colossus, and they'll pick Pikeball Colossus, and I'll get the elf. But
yeah,
yeah. Well, that's.
But
that's,
if you got Horned Path, I don't care what you pick, because I'm gonna take it.
Yeah, it seemed like there was a lot of EDH type of cards in
Kaladesh.
Yeah, but for 8 mana, that's just.
No, it costs 4.
No, it's 4.
Oh, okay.
You look at 10 cards.
Okay, somewhere.
And 8 cards, you get a shuffle back.
Somewhere I misunderstood, and I was just like, good God, that's terrible.
Yeah, that would be, right? Yeah. But for 4.
Terrible. But I think with Kaladesh coming in and the rotation happening and a lot of things kind of rotating out, I think a lot of cool things are going to be happening in Standard. I mean, it's basically wide open. I think there's going to be a white-red artifact, artificer-type deck with Stoneforge
Acolyte. I got a, for my foil promo, I got a red-white Fastland, so I'm like, I need this
there you go.
Work so I can trade this for a lot of buku bucks.
There you go. I think red-white artifacts will be good. I think mono-white weenie is going to be good. Mm. I think mono-red has
dwarf decks.
That might be... I think the next set might enable something like that. But I think even if you go back to Zendikar, again, we're going back to... you still have Catacomb Sifter, you still have Zulaport Cutthroat, you still have Broodmourner and Displacer.
Yeah.
So you can still do... And you have Cryptolith Rites. So you still could do... You know, the Displacer combo, infinite combo. You won't have the land base like you did before with the black-white and the green-black, but you still now, have...
There was nothing in the set that lets you exchange those counters, the energy counters for mana,
nope.
Right?
Nope. I'm pretty sure they're going to stay away from that.
Yeah, that would be broken.
Like, unless it's some stupid, like, crazy 10-cost thing that's only meant for EDH, I think they'll stay away from that. Even
if it was a creature that tapped for colorless mana, if it paid counter to untap it or something,
yeah,
maybe.
I don't know. But I think they're too careful for...
I think in Standard, you're going to have those Eldrazi decks from Battle and Oath are going to be really good. And I think out of Shadows and Eldritch Moon, you're going to have... Maybe a werewolf deck, a red green werewolf deck.
Finally,
and I think you're going to have.
Like that.
Yeah,
I think you're going to have. You're still going to have a Bant deck. There's going to be like a Bant humans deck with Duskwatch Rider and Tireless Tracker, Sylvan Advocate, Reflector Mage, Avacyn, and then I think there's going to be a blue white spirits deck that'll happen. I think there's still room for black white control. I think black white control is still going to be a thing. Because now they got Fumigate instead of Languish, but...
Well, I do like
that,
Fumigate.
They got that new white-black guy that every time a spell's cast or something, gain 2 life, they lose 2 life.
Comball or whatever, yeah, Comball. He's not too shabby. And then they're talking that there's some kind of blue-white control deck that might be floating around.
Yeah, with Dovin or whatever
his name is. And then... I personally like the blue-red thermo burn deck.
I think if I were really to play Standard, that would be what I would do.
With Fevered Visions.
Yeah, it just looks like fun.
Yeah, it's just really quick, it's fun, and it gets you there. I think the red-black vampires that I built, remember that post-rotation one?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that deck is going to be a beast.
Got a lot of synergy.
Yeah, there's a lot of
madness.
Stuff.
Lots of madness.
Yep. I think black-red of vampires is going to be cool. I think that there's still going to be some kind of a green-red ramp. And I think
it's going to be
Hydra is going to be a big player in that.
I think it's going to be like because there's an energy deck that they're talking about with that new 2-drop, the red green guy.
Oh, okay, yeah,
the and like Voltic a bunch Rager. Of those the Cub guy that you were talking about earlier and stuff like that.
Yep. But I think Ovenwald Hydra will be a big player. I think that new Hydra, that blistering Hydra, the new green one that's a 4/5.
The energy guy.
Yeah, I think he'll be really cool. So there's a lot of like. Really cool. Oh, blue-black zombies will come out of Innistrad, too. So
which will be nice. Blue-black
zombies, werewolves, and you'll have vampires. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have a
little... That's kind of scary.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we are in, you know, comfy land with EDH decks.
That's right.
And yeah, you guys...
There is quite a few good EDH decks. My boss wants me to... I gave him my red-white...
artifact.
The EDH deck pre-made one.
Was that... I still was... What's his face? The
Nahiri?
Metalcraft guy.
I don't know if Metalcraft. I don't know. But anyway, I've been working with him and putting some cards on it. You know, I bought him like Sutra Priest and that one artifact that puts a soldier in and then 2 soldiers and then 3, you know, which would be really good with Sutra Priest.
You mean the enchantment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes a soldier.
Assemble the Legion.
Yep,
Assemble the Legion. So I got him that. His son finally decided, since he had so much fun, he wants to play EDH now.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it is. And
no.
So
we're converting them all slowly, Jeff.
I would love to build that blue green guy that every time you cast a spell, you look at the top card. And
she's fun.
And if you put the other guy in, the blue one, that if you have the highest, all your artifacts are got hexproof, and
so blue green artifacts.
No, it's a blue legendary guy.
I know, but you're saying like put
blue green artifacts. You could do the vehicles. You could do lots of things now. But like your soul rings, all that stuff's hexproof now. And if you got a friggin' blight steel, you're gonna draw an extra card every upkeep because you got the highest powered artifact.
Well, there's all kinds of stuff you could do with that. Yeah. Like, just thank your.
What's the worm?
Wormcoil engine.
Yeah, wormcoil engine. Jeez, there's. It's
God, I missed that card.
Well, better than that. Like, just like I don't know, combo pieces would be hexproof stuff like that.
Coil yeah. Engine.
Although we'd try and steer him away from that, but.
Yeah. Wormcoil engine. God, I remember that card. Oh my gosh!
That's... I remember I pulled the foil one with Vincer in a pack, and he just about went nuts.
Yeah. Oh man, that card Wormcoil Engine is awesome. It's one of my favorite cards.
I just
cards.
Thought if you could get both those legendary, put them in the same, you know, put the blue green as your general and the blue just in there. If you can get them out, geez, and you're playing a lot of artifacts.
Yeah, could be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. You could. I mean, you could play with a lot of the blow up artifacts too, and it got hexproof.
Yeah.
What's the one that exiles a creature, takes three counters on?
See, that's the kind of person we need to come to the, like, clinic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can.
I know, we clinicked your Rafik deck.
Yeah, we did really good.
Is that thing a beast or what?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it like, did you didn't play it in, or did you play it in the 1v1s this last time?
No, it wasn't built yet.
Oh, that's right, because we built it after. That's right.
Did you get all the cards for it?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of... There's two cards I made my own change to.
He did destroy my Thalia deck, though, like, pretty handily.
Yeah. I went the next day and played against his. And then, yeah.
Whether or not it'll do the same thing against that guy St. Traft, we'll have to see, but it destroyed Thalia.
Yeah, I play the Lighthouse, so bring your goddamn guy out.
He's not the win con man.
It's got hexproof, now it doesn't, now it dies.
That'll be fine.
You play with that one glaring spotlight or whatever for one you put in play. All creatures can be targeted. You're like, screw it. I'm hitting everything.
Ha!
Glaring spotlight.
Might as well just play a Supreme Verdict at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. There's definitely some interesting stuff for EDH. I think that the best commander probably out of the whole thing is either the artifact guy or Dapala. The dwarf chick, because I think she's just fun. I do like the blue green chick. She's interesting. She's cool, but I like her inside the deck.
Oh, I like her inside the deck too.
Well, yeah. But I don't know. I just think her with like Maelstrom Wanderer, just I don't know. That'd be so much fun. Same with like Animar. Like, oh,
well, that artifact does double trigger thing.
Yeah,
it could be friggin' stupid.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of really good artifacts. Like the other one that puts counters on things that of that type. On top of things, because there's not a whole lot of stuff that does that.
Right, because you got the decks, the experience counter decks. You can start adding experience counters.
Exactly, on Planeswalkers and blah,
right.
As well, you know. And like Infect and everything there.
And what's the artifact you take forward, take an extra turn? You just keep...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the blue guy?
No, it's an artifact.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just take four counters off and you take another turn.
Yeah.
So my Brawl deck.
I keep wishing that clue tokens were counters, but I understand that they're not, obviously. Yeah, which is cool as well, you know, because it counts for other things, but...
They're not a permanent artifact. They're just a permanent, right?
It's a permanent artifact.
It is an artifact.
Oh, it's an artifact. Soul artifact would be really good with clue tokens.
Well, you play with Thraven Inspector. Turn one, Thraven Inspector. Turn two, and soul. Your clue, swing for five. Because it's been in play a turn.
I haven't seen anybody play in Soul Artifact in EDH. But man,
because it's a little flimsy.
Yeah, and when it's you're a dealing small. With a
five.
Yeah,
you can bring small. Out you can bring out the indestructible artifact and make it a 5/5. And
yeah, but you're dealing with Progenituses and
crazy stuff like
Primeval Titans and crazy stuff.
Primeval's banned, but
not only that, but you could just
make a copy of Progenitus.
You have Displacer. You just blink
just
out
clone
their
Progenitus.
You just blink out their clue. And kill it, and they're in soul artifact.
Or you just don't care
off.
About a 5/5 flyer or 5-whatever flyer.
No, you don't care.
Because it's just like, well,
no,
that's...
I'm going to play that blue guy that gives all my artifacts hexproof. Then.
Yeah, but it doesn't...
Well, then you just target
stuff.
The enchantment.
Yeah.
Or the aura. Let's make that right, I guess.
Mm-hmm. No, Displacer only does creatures.
Well, no, but I'm with any other type of... I mean, a good EDH deck is going to have, like, enchantment removal, artifact removal, so on and so forth, you know? So it's just going to be, like, one naturalize away from just being like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Crozen Grip.
Never happened.
Split second.
Never happened?
No, because I play that morph creature when they do split second.
Oh, okay.
You play Crozen Grip.
Yeah. You play Crozen Grip and I flip my morph guy. And
oh, God. It was pretty terrible.
Wait, doesn't split second beat morph?
Morph is an ability. No. It's not on the stack.
Well, it doesn't use the stack.
It happens.
Yeah.
Right, but doesn't split second?
It beats split second.
It does?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, wow. We checked on the ruling.
We did.
It's deepest. Just,
well, Crozen Grip is still an amazing card.
It is. Oh, yeah, it is. It really is.
Well, it handles pretty much most things.
And the white one's just as good, too. I mean, it has split second and
the black one, too. Turns all the creatures into O2, and then you friggin'...
And they lose all their abilities.
Well, Sudden Spoiling has got to be one of the best cards for that kind of defensive ability ever created. Yeah. Like,
and what's the black spell that comes in and does... You can put -2/-2 on all creatures. And
oh, -4/-4.
No, the
that has
old spell.
Oh, Languish.
No, the old spell that puts -2/-2... Or -1 on how much you pump into it, and then it shuffles back into your library.
Black Sun Zenith.
Black Sun Zenith, God. Yeah.
I have seen people do the combo, though, where they'll do, like, Sudden Spoiling, and then they'll do, like, a Massacre Worm, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Now, that tears people up pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty
They're
brutal.
Pretty much dead, if they're not dead.
That's brutal, too. I used to have the promo of Black Sun Zenith, the top 8 from Dare. I had 4 of those. Remember, I was playing them with my Tezzeret Control?
That was my first standard deck had Black Sun Zenith in it.
Yeah, the card is awesome.
I think it ran 2 Black Sun Zenith and 1 Red Sun Zenith.
Yeah,
and of course, 4
greens. It just racks freaking weenie decks. It's like, I'm just going to kill everything.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, those cards just so good.
So then you guys like Kaladesh then for Commander?
Really liked it. I mean, I listened to Commander Cast YouTube video, and they went to PAX, I guess, up there.
PAX West.
And the RD guy.
Mark Rosewater?
Rosewater. They had an interview with him, and Rosewater even said, this is one of his favorites. He says it could be his favorites, but I think Ravnica, he said, it was his favorite.
Was it Ravnica or Innistrad? I think he said Innistrad.
Did he say Innistrad?
Yeah.
I think he said Ravnica.
Because I know, I believe he was the lead designer on Innistrad and this one. Well, he's the lead designer on a lot of sets, but those are the prominent ones recently that I can think of.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure he said Innistrad.
To fall into that core category of all the years he's been doing this, it says a lot.
Yeah.
And he made a statement about the new 4-color EDH decks are going to be out
saying
here.
Saying they finally figured something out.
There's some surprise thing that they said.
Some guy they hired on in the what is it, hire an RD guy or whatever, some guy off the street.
He just ended up getting a job. They went, wow, why didn't we ever think of that?
Yeah, and it ended up working out really good. Yeah. He didn't say what it was, but he said it'll be really, really big.
Well, I'm really anxious. I'm excited to find out, that's for sure. I mean,
waiting
till November. Blah.
Yeah.
But
it's like I gotta start saving money.
It might be, you know, legendary creatures can turn into planeswalkers.
Something
you know
like
what I mean?
That. Yeah.
It might be that.
I'm still on
the side. Or a legendary creature that flips into a planeswalker. You know, well, they had that already in Origins.
Yeah.
That was kind of a big deal, like their spark ignites or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe these commanders, maybe it's something like they are a legendary creature.
A land creature could be a friggin'...
Well, that's...
Oh,
friggin',
wow.
What's his name?
No.
Yeah.
No, they would do like the maybe a legendary creature, it'll flip and become an enchant world or something.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty cool.
Like a arc enemy card or something, or something to that effect.
That's an interesting idea of a legendary creature turning into another type of permanent. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Or maybe turning into an artifact.
Yeah,
because they die or they get old, or maybe they're or they
come
into
petrified
play.
Wood.
They're a legendary artifact creature, and then they flip, and they become, you know, alive or you know, resurrected. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they come back from the dead. That could be something.
That'd be good for.
I think it has to do something with flipping.
They definitely have proven that they're a little bit more comfortable with doing flip cards now,
mm-hmm.
especially with like the split ones and all that stuff. Like they're definitely mm-hmm. wanting to push some stuff. Flip ones. Yeah.
Melding.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. What if they had like 2-piece commanders?
Well,
ooh,
yeah. They're and I've been wanting to try to do that is build a 2 commander EDH deck because they did do that in Versus. They tried it and it'd be kind of fun to build a 2.
Well, remember they were giving out those big EDH cards with the commander decks?
Yeah.
You know, basically all that is 2 magic cards side by side as a meld. Maybe they did that. Maybe these commanders, they come into play and there's many other cards that you can possibly meld with the general to have them flip and they do a different thing. So he may be the top part of the pitcher, your general, on the flip side, and the bottom side could have different text boxes depending.
Furry monster.
Man.
Well, regardless of all the speculation and all that, I'm interested to see what they're going to do for the lands. Like,
'cause 4-color lands.
It's just like, what? How do you make those functional outside the box unless you do something crazy like that?
4-color, you know.
I mean, because they've got... Artifact. They're obviously going to put a command tower in there because there's no way not to. Oh, yeah, like, you kind of have to at that point. But, I mean...
But you got those that prism that makes any color...
Prophetic prism?
The one that makes a little crystal or something. And you can sack the crystal and make any color. It's an old artifact.
Oh.
I don't
something
know.
Something prism.
I'm thinking prophetic prism?
No.
Is it? Well, no, it's not cage sun because that's not sacrifice.
That's not a prism.
This thing, you,
it's definitely
you
not a prism.
You make a crystal or and it's a color prism and make it any color by sacking.
Kalia something crystal? Mm-hmm. No, that's not right either.
I'm pretty sure it was called prism. But anyways, crystal prism?
Yeah, yeah. No.
I think it was crystal prism.
Anyway.
Yeah. Color, I mean, that's always the thing is mana, getting the colors of mana.
Well, they've got to put something in there. Like I said, I mean, there's no way they can be out of the box playable without some kind of
fixing.
Crazy mana fixing. Because 4 colors without crazy shocks and fetches and stuff like that is ridiculous.
Maybe that's what they do. Maybe they put in fetches or they put in... maybe not. Maybe it's not shocks and maybe it's not fetches. Maybe it's filter lands.
Which would be awesome, but I don't think it'll happen.
Why?
Yeah.
It'd be encouraged into modern.
Well, it would be bought out like that, too.
Maybe that's what they want.
Mm. I mean,
Hasbro wants that. They want their stuff to sell off.
That's true, but I know that in the last couple of years they've been saying that they don't want to throw any crazy cards like True Name Nemesis or anything like that in there. So putting filter lands in there would not be a way to keep doing that, I guess. You know. But anyway, we'll find out come November, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
Is that when the next stuff comes out for you guys?
Yep. Isn't there an Arch Enemy set coming out?
I think that comes out next year. Pretty sure it's like in March or something like
Is it? Okay.
So, well,
I still have all the old Arch Enemy cards.
Those
too.
Are cool.
I do. And I have all the Planes Chase cards.
Yeah, me too.
It's weird because of this whole like half a year announcement thing that they do now.
Right.
Because we know about things way, well, it feels like way further in advance. I don't know if it actually is. I can't really, you know, remember how it used to be, but like just having everything a half a year out, knowing that Amonkhet's the next set and blah blah blah, and you know, so on.
Nicol Bolas is a plane, yeah.
Well, and we were talking about this at the store the other day. It almost feels like they're giving us too much information at one time because it makes you kind of forget about what's going on right now and focus on what's going to be in the future,
right? Yeah. And I was talking to my boss today about, because he's just been on a buying spree and his wife's about ready to cut his, you know,
cut his credit card.
His credit card.
Neuter him.
Financial neuter.
But I told him, I says, what it seems like works, you can get a box, buy the box, and then figure out what you need and just buy singles after that.
Yeah.
Don't.
I think the box thing is just more fun.
I know.
And then I've gotten to the point where I just get singles, and that's it. I don't even waste my time.
The only time I, you know, to help the shop, I'll go when I Thursday night, I buy a couple packs, a couple sodas, and that's just what I do. And there's times I've actually, in those 2 packs, pulled a card and went, oh my God, that just fits over here.
Yeah.
Animar. Yeah. Welcome to Animar.
Well, and that's the thing too with all these new, you know, masterpieces and blah blah blah. Like,
oh yeah,
it's hard not to open boxes at this point because it's just like I really want one of those.
You know what I can't wait to see is the pro event when someone opens up a masterpiece.
Yeah.
They
get well, no,
to play. They don't. They don't do that anymore. When they do their drafts, they're thinking about doing away with the draft section, anyways. But when they did the drafts and they have to, you know, draft cards, they take all the expedition stuff out of there.
When they play, what's not draft, but the one they just build
limited.
Limited.
Uh-huh.
So if they get one in limited, they get to play with it.
They don't. And at the if they do a limited in the Pro Tour or anything like that, it's already opened. The cards are sleeved.
That's true, because they are. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, they've been talking about it. I mean, a lot of people are saying that the Pro opens up a Soul Ring, they're pretty much going to win. But
that's a way unfair.
Yeah, advantage. That's not what they're trying to promote the Pro Tour. But they're trying to do away with that anyways. They're trying to do with limited and draft at the Pro Tour and just do like, they'll probably do like standard and then go into modern and then back to standard. And they're trying to figure out something else because nobody really likes watching
1v1 commander.
Nobody likes watching them draft. And nobody likes like the whole playing with limited stuff.
I don't mind watching the draft because they usually pick one person and they show the cards. And what they do is they go through the cards, and you get to see every card. Then they take their choice and put it on top. And if they have a second choice, they put those two on top. And then they look at those two. Then they pick the one, show it to you, and then moving on. And it's
that alert. Doesn't help me.
Well, I'm not. I've never been I've been great at draft. I've been lucky at times. The cubes I've been kind of lucky at, but
If you play constructed, draft should be... I
don't have enough confidence in myself to go play for picks. I think I'm going to get screwed every time. I'm going to get the sixth pick or something.
I
don't. Like,
I go and I usually win drafts.
Well, then you should be buying cards. You should be doing drafts and picking what you need.
But it's just you do the draft. If you play constructed and you play standard, then you should be able to look at the cards and go, that's a pretty good card. Jeff, that's pretty good to do this. This is what this does. But when it comes to limited and draft, like if you just play those formats exclusively, I mean, yeah, granted, you'll have a really good knowledge of poopy cards and what they do and how they interact. But if you're a constructed person and you look at cards, I think you're just.
But you know, the thing is, constructed doesn't see those crappy cards, and it's really cool to see someone take a crappy card and beat someone with it.
Yeah,
it happens, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's no big advantage unless someone pulls in this or you know something really great.
Well, it also depends on what you pull too.
Yeah, and it's a luck factor, but it's also play with when I built my deck. That's okay. I mean, it wasn't great or anything, but it played really well. I mean, I drew the things I needed. I kept drawing that damn one card the third turn. I always had it seemed like.
Oh, the dwarf.
Yeah, and I had two of them on my deck, so like.
Well, if you didn't see that, I rolled my eyes. I know you can't see that. That's mostly because I'm salty because I had to get my ass kicked by him.
The white nighthawk.
Well, what was even worse?
Playing with blue black trash, and it's just like, oh, there's a dwarf again. Ah, oh, damn it. How much removal can I have? Not more than two, that's for sure.
I beat Eric, and then Eric and I go, watch, I'm not going to play Steve. Teamed up, am I going to play against Steve? And Eric goes, I got you, Greg. And Steve goes, what? Well, he beat me, so I got to go for him. And
like, oh, my God. Well, that's good, though. You guys had fun at the pre-release. That's what it's all about. What did you guys think of the packaging?
I liked it. I liked
the box kind of like had a little opening.
A little thing for the dice.
Button.
That was great too. Like,
did you notice if you take the dice out in the little box that's underneath the dice, if you slide that out, it's a little treasure box.
No.
Yeah, it actually opens up.
So that was probably where you're supposed to keep your Thopter. I'm guessing.
Maybe, or your pieces of your Thopter, but I showed it to Greg and I'm like, look at this. And he was like, huh, look at that. Because I was dismantling one of the boxes because I was just getting ready to throw them away. No, but
where I put my hopes and dreams.
But they hit the boxing. I think the packaging was kind of cool. Yeah. It seems like each set
gets a little bit.
They
better,
try and do a little bit like a little gimmick with the packaging.
Right.
Type
that last one, the flap latches. Yeah. It's like it's kind of Mickey Mouse, but it latches good.
It latched. And then this one now it kind of like you pushed a button and then you opened it like you were.
I'm like forcing it. My boss goes, "Hey, dude, look, push that button. And I went, oh. I'm like going to rip it open like a clam or something, you know.
Be smarter than the cardboard.
And then it just kind of, it kind of folded open like it was opening up to you type thing, like a treasure type thing, like you were discovering something.
But what made my day was seeing the look on my buddy's son. He's 13, and he was grinning from ear to ear, and he goes, I can't, when's the next time we can do this?
Yeah.
This was so much fun. And I think it really made his dad real happy, because he's trying to do something with his son. And this is finally something that they found. That
like
they
I do with Xander.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. So, and the kid is, he's a little bit nervous about stuff, and, you know, he's a little shy, but this, he kind of got him out of the shell.
This will break him out of it.
Yeah, well, yeah, and he says, right, look, he's being social with a stranger.
That's why he needs to come to EDH. Hi.
Good. Well, there's a couple of people we don't want him to play against.
Well, yeah.
I'm not going to mention names, but there's
that's in every crowd. A
couple of people you don't want him to play.
You know that Jeff guy.
EDH.
Oh, EDH. You don't want him to play EDH with?
Yeah, there's probably maybe one or two people that probably would not be a good...
At Collector Mania?
Yeah. Well, I mean, any shop. There's always that one or two people in every shop.
Bring him over to the dark side.
Yeah. You know, but... So, we met this one guy, and he was from Larksburg. And he was talking about his EDH. Oh, I destroy lands. I go, well, you're not going to be very popular here.
You're not going to be very
popular.
When
you do it one time, in the next game you play, guess who's coming after who? We're all coming after.
And I think, you know, we've talked about this before. I think that's just shop by shop. But people play differently and they enjoy it differently, and that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. But if you listen to a lot of the podcasts about Commander, they talk about that play group they have, and they introduce someone new to the play group, and they always got to bring that souped up deck that just does land destruction and, you know, infinite tutors
for everyone. Well, the thing with EDH is people don't like not playing. If you're beating them, that's one thing, but if they're not playing because of what you're doing, that's a different thing.
Right.
Because nine out of ten times they don't care.
Remember my Alora deck? Yeah. I built it so that it wasn't douchey. It didn't do any kind of like crazy things that you couldn't stop at any point during the game.
Well, the thing at Enchanted Grounds, a guy brought out one of those decks and tore everyone up like on turn six or something like that. And the one guy says, okay, great. Go on, you go over, sit there and wait. We're going to keep playing. And the guy's like, what? Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah, go sit over there and play with your deck because we're going to keep playing. Mm-hmm. And the guy went, oh, he got the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, sometimes that's all it takes.
That's when you have a competitive player that's foraying into the casual zone.
Right, right. Yeah. And
you
know,
have to
kind of Colin.
You have to kind of approach it, I think, the same way when you get into EDH. You have to approach it as a casual format, not as a competitive.
There's a good handful of us that don't want to play the douchey stuff.
Right, right.
I have one of those decks.
It's
probably
too
have
easy,
a couple
really.
Of them.
But
and if someone's going to do that, I'm breaking mine out.
Yeah.
But the group, I was saying the group, if someone new can introduce to the group and they play one of those decks, they go, okay, great. You know, we're playing for fun. If you don't want to play for fun, good luck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about, is being able to play a complete game. A lot of people won't like play EDH because it takes so long.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I'm playing Magic. It doesn't matter if I'm playing five games of Magic or two games of Magic. I'm still playing Magic.
Games are good, yeah.
Right. As long as the games are good.
Yeah, yeah, and the people are good. And,
well,
you know, you don't have these people, because we got this one guy, and every time you do, I mean, you hit him for one, he freaking slams his cards down. It's like, dude, I hit you for one. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't take things personally.
And, and then you got to ask him, if I destroy your graveyard, are you going to quit? Well, it's only, I don't have a lot of good cards in there, but I'd be unhappy. Okay, well, are you going to quit? No. Well, destroy your graveyard.
Yeah, but you know what? People that do that, then they shouldn't be playing EDH, because that's a super cash format.
Yeah.
And if you can't sit back, like when we play, if people attack me, I'm just like, okay, whatever. And I take damage. I really don't care. And if I swing at people, sometimes they get a little salty. But I'm like, you know what? I'm swinging at you because I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Like, that's my reasoning. I don't really have a reason. I'm just swinging at you.
Like that one game you played with Lauren, and you just, like, totally destroyed him. Oh, my God.
Oh, him
and
Megan.
They were both
Megan,
what the hell?
It was Megan and Kylie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
I was playing his Progenitus deck,
yeah.
And then I went after Megan, and she was getting salty. She's like, well, I just can't do anything, and I'm just, you know, sitting. I'm not really.
Why would you focus on me? I'm not doing
anything. Yeah, and I was like, I've hit you once, and I'm just need to hit you again, and you're done. And then I looked at him, and I went, you're next, because you're, like, right across from her. That's
Megan
just my reasoning.
Megan destroyed one of his key spells or enchantments or something. He goes, okay.
Yeah.
And the first time he hit her, it was like, oh, okay, you're just getting revenge. But then he kept doing it.
Well, see, I think it's different. I mean, like, when me and you sit down in a game, like, there's definitely, like, a, hey, I'm going to get you, you know.
Oh, yeah,
but that's because we like playing against each other, and we, you know,
right,
the rest
right.
of the table, it doesn't matter. Those For guys me, though, kill us.
I could give a crap less. And even Greg knew it. When I was playing, he knows how I play. Like, as soon as she was dead, as soon as I hit whoever I hit next, that's it. Like, they're the next target.
Right, right.
And when I hit him, Greg knew, okay, well, I'm good for like 2 minutes. Yeah. I can sit back.
I gotta try to kill him.
So I'm gonna try and kill him.
Did. Didn't I kill you?
You end up killing me. So I end up killing him, and then I passed the turn since he was in the game, it went right to you, and then you turn around and killed me, and they were all bent out of shape going, well, see, Greg just came in and killed you. And I was like, yep, and game over. And I just went like this. I gave him the cards, and I went, gave him back his deck, and I said, that's a pretty cool progenitor deck. And then it was like 10 minutes before the pre-release, and I said, perfect timing.
Right, 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 right.
We were done with EDH, a four-way EDH game in like 30 minutes. It was perfect. Thank you for letting me use progenitor. It killed everybody.
And you're right. I know how
I did play. Hit you, though, once.
Yeah, you did. I know how you play, and I know how Steve plays. Steve knows how I play, and it's like I said, there's some certain players you got to protect yourself. You got to keep like 3 cart lands in your hand, which is kind of dumb, but you got to, because they're gonna blow up all your lands, you know. And when they do something like that, and you turn the tide on them, because it's happened, they blow up all the lands and they don't recover in time.
Well, yeah, because
recover fast and kill them.
Not all of them know how to play those kind of cards. Because you play that when you're ready to win. You don't play that when you're like, well, I hope I top deck.
Yeah.
I played that, like, one.
There's no top deck.
Really?
I played the one white card.
It's too many cards.
I played the one white card where you got to keep one land, one creature, one artifact, one enchantment. But I prep myself when I know I'm going to play it. And it surprises the hell out of me.
Oh, Cataclysm?
Cataclysm, yeah. It's a great card because I've got white and everything.
They got a Gearhulk that does that now.
Everything except for lands, right?
Yeah. Actually, Cataclysm hit lands too. Huh?
Yeah. And you've got to keep one of each permanent.
One of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I had that happen to somebody one time, and they kept their Temple of the False God, and we had to explain to them why that was such a bad idea afterwards. It's like, do you even know what this does?
Now you have a one colorless.
You have a zero. Tapping for nothing.
I was able to keep two creatures. I was able to keep two creatures because one was an artifact creature. Yeah. And I used it as my one artifact.
Yeah, artifact, yeah. And this is a creature, and then I'm going to crush you.
Well, I tell you, those Gearhulks in EDH are going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Going back to actually talking about Kaladesh, like those, Deadeye Navigator even, just like thinking about Deadeye Navigator and pretty much any of them, it's going to be insane. Like you just, with the white Gearhulk, you just keep picking creature, Deadeye Navigator, Gearhulk as your artifact, and everything else, whatever.
Well, there's a Mardu Reanimator deck that my boss was showing he wants to build, and has 3 of the Gearhulks. So they're playing the red, black, white. And
Standard or EDH?
Standard. And it looks pretty good. It really does.
That's so a lot of Gearhulks.
They're
using the 12. Red Gearhulk, too. The red Gearhulk's really good.
Yeah, there was
12
of them.
Yeah.
That's a lot of Gearhulks, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge... Well, okay.
But there's a way to get one out in turn 4 with a reanimator, that white reanimator.
Fabricate.
No, not fabricate.
It's called fabricate.
Is it fabricate?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It's a white and 3, and it's a sorcery. And it
I have seen
put
that.
Put target artifact from your graveyard onto the battlefield.
That's Isn't there insane. A black one for the same price, one black and 3?
God, that was madness. Oh, my gosh. See the things I learned about Standard when I talked to you guys?
Standard's insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have a mutual friend, is Brody, and he brought his daughter down to play 2-headed giant. I think they had 10 people. I think there was 5 teams or something like that. Maybe 6 teams. But he was telling me he had 2 of those damn things where he can you lose 550 life and.
Oh yeah, you were telling me about.
And
these.
He had 2 of those. And he was telling, I'm gonna gain life. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. So I saw him walking around. I said, so what happened? Yeah, well, it didn't work out right.
It's like, yeah, usually those cards aren't so great.
Yeah, so he went. I was getting ready to leave, and he was playing a second match. And I went over and walked over there. His table was nothing but lands, and the other side had nothing but stuff. And they're going, so your life's at 1? And I go, yeah, I better leave.
Oh, not until I play this Fumigate. That card did blow me out one time this week. Yeah, it. Well, I got close to blowing me. I still won the game somehow, but man, it's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah.
For EDH, it's great.
Well, it's really good in blue-white control because whites always had that. I was listening to a podcast and they said that whites has planar collapse, planar cleansing, and that's at a battle. All it does is destroy stuff. It doesn't give you life.
It's destroy non-land creatures. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so fumigate destroys everything, but it gives you life. And what he said is the importance of the life gain is it gets the blue-white decks back into the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when they would wrath at turn four when they really needed to, now you wrath at turn five and you gain life. And he said usually that could kind of make it a better card than wrath because of the life gain, depending on the amount of creatures on the board.
One night we played some standard.
It literally put you back.
And that deck you gave me, I did some tricking to it, but every time I got the ally to gain life, he just rolled his eyes up like, oh my god.
Oh, Lantern Scout.
Yeah, he would get me down to like 3 life, like 8.
I'd have to kill it like right away, otherwise you would just gain life back in chunks.
It was a fun deck.
Yeah, I mean, double strike, lifelink.
For the two or three games that I played it was fun, but
Standard. It's red white. It's kind of a thing. I think red white artifacts are gonna be.
Yeah, I agree. Well, kind of a thing. I hope.
Yeah. Well, and we were talking about the Displacer. I went down and bought a couple yesterday.
I told you, pick those things up.
And it gives me a playset, but I do have one in an EDH deck. In fact, it's in my 1v1. But they were $6. And so when I went to work today, I told my boss, and he had been looking online for them. And he says, I can't find an eBay for less than $10. I says, well, we need to go back over and buy some more six. Wow. So he was able to get two for $6. And we peeled off the $6 price tag, and there was a $5 underneath it. So it's moving.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think with Kaladesh, that card's going to be an all-star.
Yeah.
I think it'll be just an all-star in standard because it's the only white Eldrazi. Well, there's a reason why they didn't print any other ones.
Getting back to what you were saying earlier, I really am interested to see like newer archetypes popping up with Eldrazi and blah, you know. The stuff that was overshadowed by Coco that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Yeah, that card.
Collective Company.
I did have a lot of people offering me huge trays of Collective Company, so over the weekend I was like, yeah, I'll do that. So, I mean, the card's seeing modern play, so...
Oh, it's huge and modern. Yeah. You're going to... That card's going to... It's dropped down to, like, $10 right
and
now.
And then it's going to go right
but
back
But it's going to go but right back. It's actually going to go up higher than that, I think.
What? Mana cost 3 or less that can come in? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so an EDH, it's like... you can.
Well, no, you don't want EDH. EDH.
No,
it's modern speculation.
It's not a good card
it is
EDH.
Totally a modern card for Abzan and green-black.
I had a playset at one point that I was trying to play sets. With my green bear or green white hate bears.
Well, I remember
never
when
worked.
We first started playing it.
I have two of them. Remember, I picked it up and was like, "Greg, I think this card's really good." Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Oh, I don't know." And I'm like, "Yeah,
well,
it's
I didn't
limited
play standard, so it wasn't an EDH card. That's
right. It's limited to 3 or less, but there's so many good 3 things."
Although a 1v1 EDH might not be so bad. Like if you're playing Gaddock Teague or something. Well, is
well,
it? What's
it'd
the mana cost?
Ideal
thing?
In friggin' tiny leaders.
So yeah.
Can you imagine it in tiny leaders?
Yeah.
Because all your stuff is 3 or less.
Yeah. That pretty much says play
you
my creatures.
Play 3 or less mana cost, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Collected Company's 4.
Oh, it is. Yeah, so you can't play it.
That's why I was thinking there for a second with Gaddock Teague, but then I remembered what Gaddock Teague does.
Modern.
It's just like, eh, no.
Yeah, but it's huge and modern. Right. It's even huge and modern right now. So when that thing filters down, yeah, people are going to dump their copies if they're dumb. Mm-hmm. And if they hold on to them, I think... By the next modern season when it rotates in, I think that card will be back up.
Well, even if it's not, getting him at $10 isn't that bad of a deal
no.
either.
Mm-mm.
Or just trading Kaladesh stuff for him isn't that bad of an idea.
What was
either.
The set that Kurt 8 come back in? Was that was Eternal Masters? Was it Conspiracy?
I think it was Modern Masters.
Modern
two.
Masters.
Two?
Okay. I think.
That guy that you're going to do the dart work for says he got in a draft or something. He got 6 of them. 6 Kurt Apes
wow.
just destroyed people with them.
Well, yeah.
He goes, I don't know why people are not
this another, if you're not seeing me, roll my eyes.
Yeah. Those and Lightning Bolts. Didn't Lightning Bolt get reprinted too in
I think so. Yeah, it did in one of them.
Can you imagine having 6 Kurt Apes?
That would be pretty ridiculous.
It'd be pretty crazy, yeah.
So we're, yeah we.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm good on this. I think this weekend will be really cool. I'm going to come up with I'm going to rebuild some decks and put some stuff in that makes the standard legal. And next podcast, I'll talk about what I find. But I'm probably going to be running some kind of red-black vampire or blue-black zombie or...
Mr. Standard, yeah.
Fevered Visions. You know, I think Xander's going to run some kind of Eldrazi, colorless Eldrazi. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think Vile Aggregate still has
a big place. Wonder, is there... The cards that are available right now, can they make a decent modern deck, you think? A playable modern deck?
With cards in Standard is what you're saying?
Yeah, more or less like the...
Eldrazis are in modern. They have banned
Eldrazis. Right, that's what I'm saying. You could probably just in the last six sets make a decent modern deck.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I play Grishul Brand, so.
Yeah, it's not legal.
Well, yeah, it is.
It's not legal in EDH, I know.
No, it's not legal in EDH, but it sure is legal in modern.
Yep.
So. All right, guys.
All right, guys. Yeah, well, yeah. We're out.
See you.